aparece con unas heridas en la cara. Y luego decidió matarla, la estranguló y la asfixió. La pregunta concreta es si en ese panorama que le estoy presentando, ¿cabe o no cabe la figura de tortura?
Mr. Wetch, thank you so much for joining us. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, and the same to you. I'm pleased to be with you.
Mr. Wetch, we're calling you because we have a very specific case that has created uproar in Colombia. And let me just briefly tell you what it's about. There's a 38-year-old man who killed a 7-year-old girl. All the clues of forensic medicine tell us that he raped her. That's super confirmed. There's traces of his semen, of his DNA. There's also certain traces of wounds in her skin. He also went ahead and asphyxiated her. There's some wounds in her face and her neck. He strangled her, basically. Under this panorama, this scenario, can we...
Asphyxiated.
Yep, she was asphyxiated as well. Can we doubt, from what I'm telling you, that she was tortured? Do you believe, from your experience, that this was a matter of torture?
You have to differentiate in language, semantically, the difference between the general societal belief or perception of the word, the terrible concept, the image of torture from that recognized in law. I want to make that very clear so that any comments I may make are not considered to be insensitive or callous. Certainly, when you hear about this kind of a crime, the brutal murder of a little girl, nobody is likely to say that they would not consider it torture. In the United States of America, that would not automatically be a torture. Even though a child has been brutally beaten, sustaining multiple kinds of injuries, and even then asphyxiated, whether it be by manual strangulation or garrote, some ligature around the neck, or suffocating with a pillow or something placed over the head and face, that doesn't automatically elevate it to the level of torture for purposes of having a prosecutor seek capital punishment execution. That's the difference in the United States of America. I do not know about Colombia law. This is a difference with a distinction. Why do you want to prove in law that it is torture? Because then you can ask for the death penalty. Without torture, you may not get a death penalty so quickly, even in those jurisdictions that still recognize it in our country. So in this case, what I would look for would be the nature of all the different wounds. Exactly what were they? Abrasions, scratches, bruises, contusions, lacerations, actual breaks in the skin. I would want to know, particularly around the head, face, and neck, how many injuries there are. Pressure marks on the lips and gums. I would want to know, is there any evidence of injuries on her hands, fingers, or fingernails to indicate that she was conscious and warding off her attacker, any broken fingernails, any skin or debris underneath her nails from the assailant's skin or his clothing. And then I would want to know if the assailant was apprehended shortly thereafter, were there any marks on him to indicate that he had been scratched or was being pushed, warded off by the victim. What you're going to be dealing with here, to a great extent, is a temporal matter, a matter then of time. If somebody comes now and strangles me as I'm talking to you, whether with two big hands or a rope around my neck, that's not going to necessarily be torture. If, on the other hand, they come and squeeze me somewhat, and then I lose a little bit of my consciousness, but not completely, and then they squeeze me a little bit more, and they're trying to find out what the combination is to the safe in my home, Will I divulge it so they can take my money or whatever? And I keep being stubborn, and they squeeze some more, and so on and so forth. I'm trying to give you a scenario in which you now move into the legal realm of torture. In this case, based upon what you've told me, the multiplicity of injuries, the fact that there was also sexual assault proven with semen and DNA of the perpetrator found on the little girl, and then various other kinds of injuries, and I think you said there's some injuries around the face and the neck and so on, this could strongly suggest that there was some torture.
Yes.
Because this sounds like a protracted situation.
I see.
One more area of important observation for the forensic pathologist who did the autopsy. It would have been very important for him to see underneath the skin in the neck their focal hemorrhages.
Mr.
What we call
let me just translate, please. Julio, lo que pasa es que hay, digamos que él dice que tenemos que diferenciar entre la concepción que tenemos nosotros como sociedad de tortura y lo que es un término tortura legal, en términos legales. Digamos que cuando uno oye sobre esta clase de crímenes tan brutales, uno considera que esto puede ser tortura inmediatamente, pero en Estados Unidos no necesariamente. Esto, por ejemplo, declarar si fue tortura o no significa la pena de muerte o no. En el caso de la niña, digamos que pudo haber sido tortura porque tenía muchas marcas en ella, pero él también miraría otras cosas como si las uñas están partidas, si hay, digamos, señales que lo trató de repudiar o de, digamos, rechazar su ataque. Entonces, eso es prácticamente que hay que ver muchos factores más para determinar si es tortura o no.
Última pregunta, Camila.
Sí, es que, Mariano, usted le puede decir a nuestro experto forense que ahora aquí en Colombia, frente a este crimen, existe también la duda de quién habría alterado la escena del crimen. ¿Ellos, con la tecnología existente, pueden determinar quiénes fueron los participantes en la alteración de una escena de un crimen, o eso es muy difícil de saber?
Mr. Watch, we're in this case wondering if there was a sort of an alteration or an intervention within the crime scene for certain people. With the technology that you have, can you determine if the crime scene was altered before the authorities got there?
Well, that depends on what kinds of artifactual information you find. It's not possible sometimes to detect some alteration of a physical scene. It depends very much, obviously, then, on what is the physical layout, furniture, things on the floor, stains of blood or water, the position of the body, how long after death is it, the development of livor mortis, that's the gravitational settling of blood, does it appear that the body was moved? So, sure, there's a lot of things you can look for, but it depends on the lapse of time, and it depends upon the nature and the extent of any kind of manipulation. I wanted to add an important feature from a forensic pathology standpoint, and that is the examination of the tissues, particularly the lungs, to see whether there's an indication that the little girl survived for a while. The lungs are the organs in which changes are manifested more quickly than in other organs in terms of congestion backup as the heart begins to fail blood into the little capillaries of the lungs and edema fluid in the air spaces seen microscopically.
Okay.
That would be very important, too, to try to determine whether she had been kept alive for a while as opposed to her having been killed right away.
I see. Wonderful. Well, Mr. Wetch, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Take care. Bye.
Camila, depende un poco de lo que exista o lo que se encuentra en las autoridades en la escena del crimen. Depende un poco de cuándo murió la niña, de si hay rastros, digamos, de que fue movida, después de cuánto tiempo, pero estos son, digamos, detalles que se deben analizar muy detalladamente, también analizando cómo la, digamos, digamos los muebles del predio estaban, si habían sido movidos, cosas así, si el cuerpo se movió después de cuánto tiempo. Pero bueno, él también nos dice que es clave ver los pulmones de la víctima, porque los pulmones son aquellos órganos que reflejan más rápidamente, digamos, los cambios que sufrió el cuerpo o la niña cuando estaba muriendo.